Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony. And you know what? I didn't do my hair for you.
Oh.
Darn it. Sorry.
It's Friday.
It is Friday, and it's oh, there you go.
That's the look right there.
That's what we're going with on the Big Fun Friday. We have a surprise today. Mm-mm. Don't worry, it's not a convicted governor. Who I love Rob Blagojevich, by the way. So you keep those emails coming. I don't care.
I'm sure you got a lot of them.
Well, by the grace of God, we should offer forgiveness to people who have sinned or maybe were wrongly accused of things.
Yeah.
So
I think, did I send you that text saying that?
Yeah, I think you did.
I did. You know, it's like, guys, people make mistakes, they mess up, but
what about redemption?
This is America, right?
Right. Did he hurt anybody?
Yeah.
I don't know, because he was someone. One person called in and said, "Did you have any joy at all in your time? Like, did anything make you happy?" And he said, "It was completely joyless. There was nothing that made me smile or happy." I'm even singing, you know, doing your jailhouse. No. Teaching, because he did teach for a while. No.
He's not the same person.
No, he's changed.
Yeah. And I've hung out with him on multiple occasions at Mark Vargas's home. And we actually hung out the night of the election in 2020.
Yeah.
We were watching the results come in. But as you talk to him, you see he's not the same. He doesn't have that arrogant flair that he used to have as, when he first ran. He's a little bit more humble.
Yeah, but he did. Wow. He had some words for our current governor, former governor, threatening the current governor.
Pritzker went the extra mile and called President Trump not once but twice. And President Trump told me this himself, to press him to keep me in. Now, he has young children and I have young children. And I've been in prison at that point just about seven and a half years.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get over that when a guy like that, who you've been good to, does something like that to your family.
Wow.
And if I ever see that guy, I'm going to kick his ass.
Yeah!
Wait, was that you yelling at me?
I was in shock. I'm like, you're going to, what? I'm in. Oh. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll watch it.
Ouch.
All right, so did you watch President Biden's The Soul of the Nation speech last night? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. He had a big promises. Big promise to the American people.
We're going to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words. We're going to create millions of new jobs in a clean energy economy. We're going to think big. We're going to make the 21st century another American century. Because the world needs us to. That's where we need to focus our energy. Not in the past. Not on divisive culture wars. Not on the politics of grievance, but on a future we can build together.
And I'd like to hear from you, MAGA Republicans, because he came out swinging against Donald Trump. He hasn't said Donald Trump's name in about 18 months.
Yeah.
He said Donald Trump's name twice yesterday. He kept repeating MAGA. Mm-hmm. You, MAGA Republicans, you are the problem.
The MAGA Republicans believe that for them to succeed, everyone else has to fail. They believe America. Not like I believe about America. I believe America is big enough for all of us to succeed. And that is the nation we're building, the nation where no one is left behind. I ran for president because I believe we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. I still believe that to be true. I believe the soul is the breath, the life, and the essence of who we are. The soul is what makes us us. The soul of America is defined by the sacred proposition that all are created equal in the image of God, that all are entitled to be treated with decency, dignity, and respect, that all deserve justice and a shot at lives of prosperity and consequence.
Except MAGA Republicans, right?
Yeah. I mean, he said you can't be for democracy and be an insurrectionist.
I don't want to be for democracy. I want our constitutional republic back.
Well, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA. That a brief comment. He said, we're a part of a movement that does not recognize free and fair elections. So this was basically a convention speech.
Yeah.
That's what I felt. And the set, the design, you know, he's outside of Independence Hall where they signed the Constitution, in case you don't know that, in Philadelphia. Yeah. Well, some people need reminding.
they don't teach civics
anymore.
It
was red.
Yeah,
like
dark.
Communist red lighting in the back. And then two guards. I don't know if they were Marines or who they were, but they were, you know, two guards stationed out front. It was a very surreal feeling. And, you know, he was combative, and it was just, you know, prime time. It was a way for, you know, an in-kind donation by the mainstream media to the DNC.
Yeah, exactly.
To keep it going. And he kept going.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. These are hard things. But I'm an American president, not a president of red America, blue America, but of all America.
I mean, the same thing. You know, he's supposed to be the great uniter, and he did anything but unite people in that speech. And Kevin McCarthy did the Republican response to it, basically saying, you know, this is a guy who ordered a raid on a former president and his biggest challenger right now.
Exactly.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. And beside the staging and the lighting that was sinister and looked communistic, if I could use that word.
Dark and gloomy.
There were people that were clapping that I would not be surprised to find out if they were paid to be there.
Hmm.
If they were paid like clap,
yeah,
clap now.
Yeah.
Because there's no enthusiasm for Joe Biden. There was no enthusiasm for him when he was running for president because he campaigned from his basement. And when he did come out, he did those car.
Yeah.
Where people are in the car and they'd honk. Okay.
Notwithstanding those folks you hear on the other side there, they're entitled to be outrageous.
Somebody yelled.
This is a democracy.
I know.
But history and common sense.
Yeah, somebody in their audience want to clap. Clap now. Now.
Good manners is nothing they've ever suffered from.
That was such, good manners is nothing they've ever suffered from. Why don't you just come out and call us deplorables?
Well, that's basically what he did.
Well, you know, but just say it.
But you know, he's following that Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney line of attack the MAGA Republicans. They gave the Democrat this on the platter to come after MAGA Republicans. And I think what they don't understand, it's not about Trump the man. It's what he stood for, what he was doing for America. For the first time, Americans felt like they had a president who actually wanted to get the job done. And that's why MAGA Republicans are so enthralled with a President Donald Trump. And that's what these leftist progressives don't get.
Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy. Always great talking to you. And for you, John, glad you're back to
Thank you, Bob.
Program.
Thank you, Bob.
Last night, it took a while to find it. I thought there was going to be a big deal to have him give a speech. It was not on legacy media, ABC, CBS. I was watching Tucker, expecting to watch it. He didn't appear on Tucker, so I kept on looking and finally watched all of it on MSNBC or MSDNC.
That speaks volumes.
What we were told, Bob, was it was supposed to be on ABC, NBC, CBS, and it wasn't. Because, Bob,
volumes.
I was like, you know, I got home after beating Sun High School in volleyball. Got home and was just clicking through and did the same thing. I ended up on CNN watching it on CNN. So,
can I offer a few other comments,
please,
with regards to what's going on in the country? For your listeners, I don't know if you remember or heard about or know the famed H.L. Mencken quote. It's very, very interesting. Let me just kind of conceptualize it. Democracy being perfected, the inner soul of the people, the White House eventually will be downright occupied by a fool.
Thank you, Bob.
Wait. Uh-oh. There's another one. Uh-oh. I got a couple of other ones.
This is not the Bob, John, and Amy show, but all right, one more.
One of your other guys on your station, Dennis Prager, he would talk about what took place in the 30s in Germany and was concerned, you know, how did Germans go to fascism and what about the good Germans? And all of a sudden, what's happening in the country right now, he has to reassess his opinion because he sees it happening right now with regards to the, in a sense, the good Americans ignoring what's going on.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob did his homework
you
this
did.
Morning.
I really
love that. Let's go to Bessie in Grays Lake. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, John and Amy. I just wanted to say the timing of this whole thing is linked to my son Hunter, the movie being released in 5 days.
Oh.
They were out in front of the White House all week previewing the trailer to Walker Buys.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Have you seen the trailer, Bessie?
Yes.
And what do you think?
And I ordered the movie.
All right. Good. Well, after you see it, call back and tell us what you think.
I think it's more of a condemnation of our FBI and our DOJ, more so than even Hunter. Yeah. I mean, we have degenerates all over the place.
Yeah.
But to ignore them and protect them is an indictment of them, the FBI.
Very well said, Bessie. See, I love our
listeners. Wouldn't
indict
the whole FBI, though.
No, not all of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't indict the whole FBI. I think there's some players in there that, you know, we really need to get to the bottom of them, get them out. They need to go right away.
Vincent St. Charles, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy and John. You know, I know they didn't like us and they hated us, but now he actually said it publicly.
Yep.
He hates law-abiding, American, tax-paying, hardworking, family-loving Americans. That's what he said, because that's who votes for President Trump, period. Gays, blacks, Mexicans, everybody. So that's who he hates. He called it out. Now I know.
Yeah.
MAGA Republicans.
They hate us.
He said it 8 times. You MAGA Republicans, it's your fault.
I'm a proud MAGA.
You're threatening our democracy.
I'm proud MAGA Republican. I am.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560.
Just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
The Answer.
The best in the business, Justin Kosick there, putting that little ditty together. All right, 312-642-5600, the divider-in-chief yesterday, slamming you MAGA Republicans. You're threatening our democracy. You're threatening the security of elections. Mm-hmm. I've never seen, but he was combative. It was a convention speech to me because, you know, the stage was set and it was a dark red lighting underneath.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody from Hollywood came in and put the set design together. And then the words, you know, that started coming out of his mouth.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
He couldn't say it enough. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. We had the three of us were talking during the break that they had two Marines.
Yeah.
That were, they look, you know, on guard to make it look a little more sinister. And is that legal, Mike Scott, to the best of your knowledge? I mean, I know we're kind of throwing you on the spot here, but.
Well, unfortunately, I don't work for a law firm or represent the military code, the criminal code of military justice. However, under rules promulgated by the Department of Defense, and this is on, and you can find this on marines.mil. Also under the Secretary of the Navy, which oversees mm-hmm. the Marines. This guidance is issued to ensure that Marines, sailors, and civilian employees exercise their rights and obligations without violating federal statute. Active duty members will not engage in partisan political activities, and all military personnel will avoid the inference that their political activities imply or appear to imply DOD sponsorship, approval, or endorsement of a political candidate, campaign, or a cause. No employee may engage in political activity while on duty or in a federal building. Here's underneath that. Members of the armed forces are subject to generally more restrictive rules governing political activity than federal civilian employees, but permissible activities do include register to vote and vote,
right.
Express a personal opinion on a political candidate or issue, promote or encourage others to vote, write a letter to the editor, display a partisan political bumper sticker or point of view. Permissible online or social media activity is further discussed in other paragraphs.
Wow.
Well, and that's and actually,
thanks,
I'm,
Mike.
I'm on the Department of Defense's website. The Department of Defense directive, the number is 1344.10.
Wait, this is like a house bill. I got to write the number down.
Yeah.
You know how sexy house bills are
for
me. Yeah. Okay.
I do. But it actually lays out what
can and can't be
done. Yeah, in the
so
military.
The bottom line,
right.
Should they have been there or should they not have been there?
It is partially regulated by the Hatch Act, which regulates what federal employees can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, okay, so I'm sure he's not going to take any heat for that. He's not going to get any
because they have an order to do it.
Yeah, and so you have to do one of the guys on the left. I thought he didn't look comfortable there.
Yeah. I'm sure they probably didn't feel comfortable.
Well, yeah, because they're on national TV. The world is watching, not national. I mean, the whole world. Our enemies, you know, overseas are watching that too, everything that comes out of his mouth. But how do you feel as a diehard MAGA Republican?
It's going to motivate the MAGA Republicans to come out. And right after the midterm election, President Trump's going to come out and announce his candidacy to run for president of the United States of America.
Do you really?
Right after the election. Trump's going to announce.
Right after the midterms.
Right after
who's going to be his running mate?
That, I don't know. I personally, I know a lot of people are saying Tim Scott. No, I don't want Tim Scott. I like DeSantis. I'm sorry. I think of Trump DeSantis. I mean, that's 12 years of
what about Nikki Haley? Though?
No.
Oh, no. Whoa. Hear me out.
Okay.
Indian-American. Kamala Harris is Indian-American.
Okay.
She would destroy her in a debate.
Yeah.
Because she's accomplished and she can actually do this thing called communicate with people.
Okay.
I think she'd be a
like
natural
DeSantis
choice.
Better.
All right. That's a lot of white on a ticket, John.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, 312-642-5600. Let's go to Michael on the south side. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning, John.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call. The speech showed, once again, what a nasty liar Joe Biden is. It was on full display. Somehow he didn't mention, he talked about threats to democracy, but did not mention the violence that took place during the marches by Antifa and Black Lives
Matter. Summer of 2020, the
That's
summer
right.
from hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
God, I remember you and I were working that day, after that Monday after it.
Yeah.
And we also saw Pritzker walking in the, they had a parade or something. Remember Pritzker? He was walking in there. I mean, come on, man. These people.
The BLM parade.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. These people.
So, Michael, it's Biden was, but there's I know people hate when I say this. I think he has the beginnings of dementia, so he'll start talking, and then he yells.
Yeah.
And then he talks. But yesterday was more yelling and more. Well, are you offended by what he said, or is it just what you expected?
Both, actually. I think it's almost political malpractice. I mean, I can't believe that the people, his advisors, actually let him go out there and make that speech, make such an obviously false speech. I mean, he forgot to mention the attempted assassination of a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
How is that not a threat to democracy?
Yeah, true.
He says he claims he wanted to be a uniter, and yet he went out there and threw red meat to his to his base.
Yeah,
so,
that's what he was doing. It was a convention speech. Yeah.
That's all it
Thanks,
was about.
Michael, for the phone call. We got a lot of calls.
And you know, Amy, they keep talking about election integrity. You want to bring election integrity? Make voter ID the law across the land. Clean the rolls, and let's go back to election day and not election month.
The longer it goes on, the more vulnerable a system can be.
They don't want that.
And to get to go eat at a restaurant for months or to go to a gym, we had to prove an ID, a government issued ID, and our COVID vaccination card. Where to vote, you don't need to show your ID at all. And every single time I get out, I'm like, we don't need that. And I think, why? I want you to need this. Jim in St. Joe, Michigan, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, John and Amy.
Good morning.
Enjoy your show very much. What the heck is this guy talking about? But in a way, I'm kind of happy this morning that I'm a Republican. I don't know if I'm a mega Republican, but boy, I guess I'm a danger to this country. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, like you guys talk about every morning, our school systems are in chaos. The crime in Chicago, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and he's got to go on a rant about Republicans. It only shows me one thing. They don't have anything. They have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer. They don't do anything. I've been reading some books by Thomas Sowell, the late Dr. Walter Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And all the Democrats ever do is bring up racism and throw money at a problem and don't take care of anything. Thanks for the call, and God bless you. You have a good Labor Day and safe weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim, for the phone call. Let's go to Tom in Deer Park here on Chicago's Morning Answer.
John, Amy, good morning. Three things. First of all, what he said was very divisive, so I don't know why strategically or politically that he came out and made those statements. However, they're very factually true. And I do appreciate you taking my call, because it's like me yelling into the ocean and telling to this radio station, it's like me yelling into the ocean and telling the fish that they're wet. Few people are going to get mad. Who, me, what? But it is true.
Yes. Thanks, Tom, for the phone call. When I was watching, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I thought he's supposed to be this great uniter in chief. And he just took this time because the midterms are 10 weeks away.
That's all this speech was about.
That's all this is, yes.
Getting them riled up.
Yep. John in Marengo, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy. Hi, John, right?
Yes, John. Yes, thank you.
You do the Black and Right show, right?
That's correct.
Saturdays, noon to 3. Yeah. Always be closing, John.
They got on Trump for trying to incite an insurrection, but I think what Joe Biden said, it was a lot more aggressive, a lot more divisive, and I think we need to have a commission for him now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, he did say MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. So he spent 24 minutes just shaming everyone who's ever voted for
Trump. Amy, I'm okay with that. I don't want a democracy. That's why we find
ourselves. You don't want a democracy?
No, I want a constitutional republic. I want the Constitution to be the law of the land. I don't want it to be about people's skin color. I don't want it to be about people's social economic. I want the Constitution.
What about sexual orientation?
I none of that. The Constitution is the law of the land. Can we get back? You want to see America greatness? MAGA is all about that, making America great again. How do we make America great again? The people. That's how people make America great. That's what the MAGA message is about. So if you're saying I hate MAGA, go ahead. But we're the people that make this country great. That's who we are. And I'm proud to be one.
Fred in Hammond, Indiana, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning, John.
Morning.
I really like your Saturday show, John.
Thank you.
The reason the Democrats are fighting for the soul of America is because they sold their souls to the devil, and they're trying to make a deal with the devil to get theirs back. And the only threat to democracy from MAGA people is a threat to the Democratic Party that their business as usual is going to be shut down. And that's what they're worried about. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Let's go to Glenn in Oak Brook. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, folks. The Democrats have one thing they offer to the country, and that is the art of illusion.
That's it.
Everything they do is illusion. And the only reason why they have illusion is because they are incompetent and can't solve any problems. So please, everybody, go vote. Do not stay at home. If you stay at home, you're making a choice. Don't stay at home.
Yeah.
Yes, get out and vote. In 10 weeks, that's it. It'll be here. We'll blink, and it'll be here before you know it.
And, Amy, how do we forget these same people literally destroyed so many lives with their shutdown protocols?
Oh, yeah.
Please,
we're going to get to that.
Never forget that.
Oh, yeah. Because you should. We are suffering. Test scores are out?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Nine-year-olds are not even passing.
No.
20% can read and write.
Right.
And we'll get into those numbers at 6:35 with Jessica Hackett. Jan in Hoffman Estates, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Good morning, John and Amy. Question. We need for you to get those ballot initiatives, some information about those. There's going to be one about giving labor contracts jurisdiction over our legislature. I also saw a commercial on TV where they're talking about workers' rights.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a couple of constitutional changes that we need to be alerted to.
Yep.
Also, when you go to vote, grab a paper ballot, because they're calling us, you know, we're terrible people because we believe in the Constitution. We believe in our constitutional rights. And they want to take control because they are ignoring our constitutional rights. They are shredding the Constitution. This violation of, you know, jumping in on, you know, Trump's house, this is a complete, utter violation. He has complete authority when he was the president. He could have taken every single paper out of that office and said it was his, and they got no say-so. He works in accordance on his schedule with the National Archives. They had no right to report him to the
So witch hunt.
FBI, the FBI.
Right. Yeah, and don't tell me that Joe Biden did not call that raid.
Oh, he knew.
He knew. It's
his biggest
political opponent.
He doesn't stop anybody from doing anything. He doesn't from burning down cities. There's no problem there. But they want to come after you if you want your constitutional rights. So that's why you have to go out and vote and get a paper ballot and be aware and tell everyone. Make it your subject with anyone on the street, at the gas station, whatever, what these people are trying to do. But there's a lot of people that want to be cheaters. So
thanks,
Jan, every day.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Let's go to our good friend Craig in Mount Greenwood.
Craig.
Don't want to ignore Craig. Hi, Craig. How are you?
Can't ignore Craig.
No.
Hey, good morning, Amy, and good morning, John. And
morning, sir.
Your program is good on Saturday there.
Thank you.
And Amy, you do a good job when you take over the controls there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I take your phone calls.
Boy, I'll tell you something. That speech and all that kind of thing, and that all that does is where the speechwriter that is involved with this, whoever's pulling the strings for Joe Biden. We got a lot to worry about here because they've already shown us that they're already on the move to do this stuff. You think of all the things you've been talking about, but then you put on top of it January 6th. You put on it what they did to innocent people, what they did to Donald Trump with the raid on the House, what they're doing what they did with the shutdown and shutting down businesses, no one go to church or anything. Listen, these people that are behind the scenes of Joe Biden, they mean business, and I'll tell you what, we're in some big trouble because they don't even mind blurting it out in advertising. We're coming for you. These are like what people liken our Federal Bureau of Injustice to the brown shirts and everything like that. This administration can use these three-letter agencies of injustice just to come after us and destroy this country. This once beautiful, beautiful country is being just torn up and destroyed, and they're bleeding out the economic part of it with all their stuff that they're doing economically. They're just bleeding this country in a minute so that it's weaker and weaker and weaker. It's frightening when you realize that they're actually already been doing these things.
Yep. All right.
It's
thanks.
Not coming. It's here.
All right. Thanks, Craig, for the phone call.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
A war of words. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony hey. In for Dan Proft.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Exciting day. Always something going on. We have a lot of news to get to. Yeah. And yesterday, Mayor Lightfoot and others, you know, because they're making everything's got to be political because it's election year for her, too. She talked about the 75 immigrants that came here from, they never, not one from Mexico, folks. They came from Colombia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Panama, Peru, and Venezuela.
Wow.
And it's kind of a he said, she said, because I have it on many reliable sources that she was in contact with the Texas government. They were letting her know that they're coming. And she said, well, no, I didn't know. And shame, shame, shame.
Wow.
On Governor Abbott. But before we get to that, let's talk about the 75 people here. Mm-hmm. They came here. Once they crossed the border, they got on a bus. They had to sign a written permission so they knew where they were going. They were on this luxury cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, a nice, it wasn't a school bus.
Yeah.
It was a nice, you know, like a Greyhound bus, you know, a charter bus that had plush seats, air conditioning, a bathroom in the back. They gave them food. They gave them water. The people on the bus that spoke to NBC5 were very appreciative, and they feel like they won the lotto. I mean, this is this is good. This is Jose.
We've been on the road for 2 months. Our journey started in Colombia. On that bus, you'll find fathers like Jose, who came here with his wife and 2 kids. Men who made that trek on their own. But you'll also see women, tired from the journey, but still strong enough to hold their child as they nap.
Okay.
The toughest part of this journey was making it through the jungle. We had planned to trek through the jungle for 2 days. It took us 4. We had to tend to our kids and our women. We ran out of food and supplies. Nicaragua and Mexico were also really tough.
But Mayor Lightfoot made it sound like the toughest part of their journey was getting on that luxury charter bus to, you know, valiantly sit on a bus where somebody's driving it for 12 hours from Texas to Chicago.
75 individuals were dropped off at Union Station. The conclusion of what I can only imagine was a confusing, distressing, and mentally exhausting half day traveling across our country after a long journey to even get here.
She's out of her mind.
The city, which has been preparing for this day for some time, quickly collaborated across various departments.
Yeah. So they're all staying. They were taken care of. They were all checked out by doctors. 2 required medical help, but nothing major.
Yeah.
1 needed an IV. And then one from Venezuela, she's a civil engineer. You know, she wants to contribute. They want to help out, and they want us Chicagoans to give them a chance, and I'm willing to.
The
fear here is dying in the jungle or in the Rio Grande. The biggest fear is that you'd lose a child. You're judged when you put your kids in danger, but there was no alternative. And while they assimilate to life here in the U.S., this becomes their new temporary home, the Salvation Army. Here they can finally get some rest as they search for some normalcy. We know not everyone will want us here, and there are people that aren't happy with us being here, but we will be respectful of their opinions and do anything to gain their trust. We just ask they give us a chance.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Are you willing to give them a chance?
You know,
John Anthony?
I look at it this way. I see this differently. You look at Americans who hate this country. You listen to Joe Biden, his speech about America. These people see a land of, these people see opportunity here. You know, they still see that city on the hill. They see, they still see an opportunity to make life work for them. Now, I would personally prefer them to come into the legal ports of entry. You know, unfortunately, they're not. We have all these sanctuary cities. I think we need to get rid of all sanctuary cities. I'm sorry.
Well, I think every sanctuary city should get illegals that cross over in the border. Yeah. Why does it have to be Texas's problem
only
and Arizona's problem? So I think it's brilliant.
He's a savage.
To ship these people.
Yeah.
And I mean, it'll sound like that. Yeah. It sounds racist. These people to ship the, you know, the people that you just heard from to cities where they want this.
Right.
They're asking for it. They're supporting open borders with President Biden. Well, these are the ramifications of your actions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, American citizens will be paying for this, though.
Well, Texas has spent $12 million so far busing people to New York, D.C., and Chicago. And this is just the first round. We're going to get more. So Mayor Lightfoot, of course, used this as an opportunity to be so outraged and just slam Governor Abbott.
Let me say loud and clear to Greg Abbott and his enablers in Texas. With these continued political stunts, Governor Abbott has confirmed what, unfortunately, many of us had already known. That he is a man without any morals, humanity, or shame. Instead of treating these individuals with respect that they deserve, the due process that our laws require, Governor Abbott chose instead to humanely, inhumanely, load them onto buses, send them on a more than 12-hour journey across a country that they don't know, and to drop them off without any regard for what the next steps are.
Lies and more damn lies. They signed up to get on that bus.
Yes.
They wanted to get on the bus. That was a break for them. They were happy to be on the bus. They were smiling when they got off the bus, and she didn't stop there.
Governor Abbott's racist and xenophobic practices of expulsion have only amplified the challenges many of these migrants have experienced on their journey to find a safe place.
Well, they found a safe place in Chicago.
Yeah.
This is the best. So I was watching the press conference because I couldn't go, and I was texting reporters. They're like, ask her about the vaccinations, please. Are you going to mandate that they get vaccinated?
Oh, good point.
Because you still, but they didn't ask it. I was so pissed. But to be a firefighter and a police officer, they still had the vaccine mandate in place. Don't forget that. And same with CPS. Okay?
So they only suspended the testing, not the vaccine.
They suspended the testing for Chicago police, but you still, it's a mandated vaccine.
Yeah.
So why do these people, when they get off the bus, they should be getting jabbed as soon as they get off that bus, woman.
Yeah.
And then she had some words for the bus company.
Shame on the bus companies.
Oh, God.
Who, frankly, are just as complicit in
her mind
being a part of this indignity.
I mean, seriously. But Alderman Lopez, he told me and others, this is all political stunt because she knew they were coming.
Right.
And so Craig Wall asked a question from ABC7.
Go, did you start preparing for this? And did you get any direct information that there were going to be buses coming here?
Well, you know that this has been happening for some time now. I think at least a month, if not a little bit longer. And we saw what was happening in New York and Washington, D.C., and we immediately knew if the...
She's lying.
I would have loved to see her eye and body, how it contoured.
Was she...
You know, I mean, yeah.
No, she does. She's whenever she's lying, I know, because I can tell she looks...
But the you know, that's what I was trained in. I was a former crisis hostage negotiator.
You were what?
Former crisis hostage negotiator.
So you...
So I body language and all that. So,
what am I doing?
I don't know right now. you may have to go see a neurologist right now.
You're not the first man to tell me that. Okay, and then ready for this one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. This is just, well, I'll just let her talk. Okay. I'll cede my time to Mayor Lightfoot.
I'm happy to take and drain Texas of all of its residents. I wouldn't want to live in a state with a governor like that. I certainly wouldn't want to live in a state where they are doing everything they can to strip people of their basic rights. And let's not forget about what they've done to women and others who are seeking reproductive health care. So we welcome Texans to Chicago. And we'll rent the buses next time to bring them here.
Oh, okay.
You got a worse governor here.
I know. She actually, that was just her political time to slam Governor Abbott for absolutely no reason. 312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Let's go to, Brian in Chesterton, Indiana. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
How are you guys doing? I love your show.
Good.
It's funny how she sounds just like the mayor of New York. They want to be a sanctuary city until the immigrants get here.
Bingo. Yep.
And then they're so worried about the immigrants' feelings and all this. How about take care of the police that have suicide at record rates, and also all the shootings of our own citizens? Worry about those families first.
Oh, yeah. And people ask her, too, about homeless. Yeah. You know, why aren't you taking care of the Americans who are homeless first before doing this?
Where are they staying?
They're staying at the Salvation Army. Well, I don't want to. But they're staying at one of the different Salvation Army locations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, crazy. Brian. Brian.
No, that's all right. No, see, I've seen her speak with so much passion about these immigrants, but nothing ever about the police or her own citizens getting shot daily. It's just, it makes no sense. I've just never seen a mayor this terrible. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Brian. Let's go to Mike in Hanover Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. The queen of racism is calling everybody else racist. Wasn't it her that was the one who said she won't take questions from white reporters anymore?
Amy.
That was on her two-year anniversary, Mike, and we're over that now. We've moved on.
We have a question real quick. The thing that I wanted to mention about the Joe Biden thing, I didn't get to see it, but I seen pictures of it. It scared the crap out of me because I seen satanic cultism right there.
It was weird.
And it was red and black, and that's Satan all over.
Communist colors, yeah.
Pray both of you have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you. Let's go to Bill on the southwest side. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning.
Hi.
Would be laws or not?
Oh, Bill.
Way for people to get here legally or illegally. Do we have borders or don't we? I mean, or does some politician like Biden decide what the rules will be? You know, we have to pay for these people to be here. This is not the way it's supposed to be done.
Yes, you're right. No, it's right. And that people are, it's not as if they're going to stop coming.
Yeah.
In May, they had 237,000.
Wow.
I can't even, because I used to live in El Paso. I can't even imagine. They have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And the people that came here, the 75, some of them aren't even staying here. They're going to Wisconsin or neighboring states to live with relatives.
No other country in the world does it this way. Every other country has borders.
That's true.
We don't.
And you can't become a Mexican citizen.
Do the
reverse. That too.
Do the reverse and go into Mexico and see what happens.
Oh, you can't.
That's my point.
Right.
That's my point.
And so many people die trying to come here, too. If you've ever driven to Rocky Point, if you fly into Tucson, it's on the point there. That's why it's called Rocky Point.
Yeah.
There are so many crosses up, and I thought, gosh, you got a lot of car accidents. No, those were people who died trying to get into our country.
Yeah. I've been
to
the border.
Everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, you see some of the rape trees and all that. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Jordan and Antioch, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning, Amy. Morning, John.
Morning.
Nice to hear you on the radio again, John, during the weekdays.
Thank you.
So it would have been interesting for Governor Abbott when she threw that statement out that, who would want to live in a state under this guy? That would have been nicer him to see. The people that want to live in his state are the ones who probably have less people die in the entire state of Texas in one day than die in her city of Chicago.
Wow.
We have a process here, right? So if this lady's a civil engineer, I'll bet you Lori Lightfoot's going to bend over backwards and do everything she can to get her a job so she can, hold up the newspaper article saying that she did that. But in the meantime, you have engineers and educated people that are here, that belong here, that can't get a job, that are afraid they're going to get shot. Like the previous caller said, we have a process, and it's not this process. This is all political. This is just a bunch of crap.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go.
But shouldn't this be an opportunity to look at our immigration system and fix it, because it's still a very archaic system.
I like Trump's stay in Mexico policy.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mexico liked that, but that's too bad.
Yeah.
But again, not one of the 75 that came here from Mexico.
Right.
They're all fleeing from Venezuela. And the civil engineer that I'm talking about, the female that was interviewed on Channel 7, courtesy of Univision, you know, she made $2 a day. She said, there's nothing to eat.
Right.
She said, there's not even scraps. They can't even go through the dumpsters and landfills.
Wow.
There's nothing there.
Wow.
And that's what's going to happen here if we continue with this, you know, on our road to communism here, or socialism. Whatever.
It's already here.
Tom and Elgin, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm an advocate for the Salvation Army. And when they did that whole political spear to make those Christians homophobic and all this stuff, but now when they need the Salvation Army, where do they go?
Yeah.
Right to the Christians who take everybody in, who built all the hospitals and this whole slamming the Christians. But where do they go when they need them? Right there. That's all I got to say.
Well, she said it's not in the budget. You know, they can help these 75, but if more come, Mayor Lightfoot said she's going to need people to donate.
Yeah.
You know, donate to Catholic Charities, donate to Salvation Army to help.
Yeah.
With,
you know,
would you be willing to do that?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I still believe, and I've said this time and time again, I do believe one of the people that's going to help save America is the immigrant, because they're coming from these fascist communistic countries. And I feel this with every fiber in me. Every time I talk to somebody that's from a different country, even the South America, mm-hmm. they don't want America to become what they left.
Right. And my friends in Germany
and
grew up in Berlin, they said, we are becoming the country that I fled.
That's right.
And that's their biggest concern.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Big show today. We have Brett Baer on. It's 7:07, Dick Morris. And then at 8 o'clock, a surprise guest.
Uh-oh.
And I have never seen Quinn McCarthy so excited about a guest in my entire life. I mean, he was giddy yesterday. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wait, where's my rundown sheet? Oh, here it is. Okay. 8 o'clock guest. I don't know if I should. I think we should.
No, let's just keep it. Let's
keep it a day.
Yeah.
Keep it a surprise.
Yeah.
It's so good though.
It's gonna be a good surprise. You gotta hold it. It'll keep people here.
Fine,
listening.
Fine. All right. Yesterday, Jean-Pierre, this quadruple threat. Because remember, she came out. She said, "I'm a woman. I'm black. I'm a lesbian, and I'm an immigrant."
Oh, she's Lori Lightfoot.
Well, no, she's plus one.
Oh,
she's
wow.
Lori Lightfoot plus one. Lori Lightfoot's triple threat.
Okay.
Lori Lightfoot is black, female, lesbian. Jean-Pierre is black, female, lesbian, immigrant. She came here from...
So she's holding on to the black card and the immigrant card?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay? She's here legally.
Ados won't like that.
I'm just letting you... Pardon?
Ados won't like that. American descendants of slavery won't like that. I'm telling you.
All right, so she came out with something just stunning yesterday that stopped me in my tracks. You'll hear for yourself.
Be optimistic about. The National Assessment of Educational Progress has this new testing that shows that 9-year-olds lost ground in both math and reading in pretty dramatic ways as a result of the pandemic. What is the president going to do about it? What is the administration going to do about this severe learning loss, and does the administration shoulder any blame for not pushing schools to reopen sooner?
So let's step back to where we were not too long ago when this president walked into this administration, how mismanaged the pandemic, the response to the pandemic was, how 47% of schools were in less than 6 months. Our schools went from 46% to open to nearly all of them being open to full time. That was the work of this president, and that was the work of Democrats, in spite of Republicans not voting for the American Rescue Plan, which $130 billion went to school to have the ventilation, to be able to have the tutoring and the teachers, and being able to hire more teachers. And that was because of the work that this administration did. We were in a place place where, again, schools were not open. The economy was shut down. Businesses were shut down. And what we have seen is, we've seen the numbers, but I think that's what we see. That's how we saw it. It shows you how mismanaged the pandemic was and how the impact of that mismanagement had on the on kids' progress and academic well-being. And so, again, our priority remains to make sure states and schools and districts are using these funds, that $130 billion. This is going to go, again, to tutoring, to more teachers, real solutions to make sure that our kids are getting what they need. And, you know, every Republican Congress voted against that money. That is the reality. We had to do this on our own. And so, we're going to make sure that those funds are directed to the most resources towards students who fell the furthest behind, which is important, and we must repair the damage.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. She blamed the mismanagement of the Trump administration for schools not opening sooner and says that nearly all schools opened in less than 6 months after Biden took office. And that was the work of this president and the Democrats in spite of Republicans.
They're rewriting history. Florida wasn't closed.
No.
Texas wasn't closed.
I mean, everybody shut down for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And actually in Utah did too. Yeah. And they didn't let kids graduate. Some people let them graduate. Some had ceremonies anyway. Some had huge ceremonies
yes.
in the summertime then.
Yes.
After school was over, they had prom, and then they had graduation.
Yes.
We had
nothing
here.
I know, because I had two kids. One graduated from eighth, one graduated from high school, who didn't have a proper high school graduation or grammar school.
Did they ever have one in the summer? Or?
They had something in the summer. But Amy, they are rewriting history. They think we're that dumb and that stupid that we won't remember that it was mostly blue states governors who shut us down. And how did the president of the United States, Donald Trump, shut down schools? That's a local issue.
Right.
They shut down schools.
Trump gave the best day I remember when Trump gave power to the governors. Remember that,
yeah.
During COVID, and it was all crazy, lost in the fog of COVID war. Just completely gave power to the governors.
Yes.
Which is fine, because then you knew at that time that your out was to leave.
Yeah.
How many people do you know that moved to Florida?
A lot.
Or Michigan, believe it or not, because Michigan has a Republican state legislature and state senate. People moved to Utah. People moved to Colorado.
North Carolina.
My school, Blaine, went from 900 kids. They lost more than 200 students.
Yeah.
200. That's a lot. CPS in general lost a lot, but they also lost a lot of learning. So the National Center for Education conducted a special, this reading study and mathematics assessment for 9-year-olds that the reporter was talking about. 5 points they declined in reading, 7 points in mathematics, which is the largest average score decline in reading since 1990 and the first ever score decline in mathematics since they started this study.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because do you know how hard it was to learn online for some kids, and especially math?
Yeah.
You need to be there with in person.
Right.
So shame on all of the teachers that went, that were all in, oh, no, we're going to die. I can't teach from the grave. And all the governors, which are all Democrats, blue state Democrats, for doing this to your kids. Because how do we make this up?
You can't.
I mean, they throw all the money at this problem. We're going to help with tutoring. How?
No.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. I also want to throw in there, too. Who's going to get the Pfizer shot? The boosters out this weekend. Dr. Awardi came out yesterday.
How many is that?
Claiming
now?
This is 5. But this one, we're on 5. High five, high five.
That's been tested in mice only, right?
Mice.
Yeah, okay.
Human trials.
Okay.
And they've tested it on 8 mice. Mm-hmm. That's according to Fox News and CBS.
I'm not your guinea pig.
Well, yeah.
I will not be.
No, but John, no mice died. So there you go. This one is specific to the
BA4. Did somebody say that?
Yeah.
Did it? Oh, God.
This is specific to the BA4 Omicron variant, which Dr. Awardi said yesterday, if she had had that shot, she would not have gotten COVID, which is the biggest. She doesn't know that. That's what she said yesterday.
So
so we've already ordered the shots are here. We pre-ordered it and they're ready to go. And I'm just waiting and I'm praying to God that this fifth shot is not going to be mandated.
Do they think we're stupid?
I'm done at 3.
Do they think we're stupid? The previous 4 didn't work. and people still got COVID. And so you're going to tell me now it's the fifth shot.
Yeah.
It's the fifth shot that's going to work. Nobody's going to get COVID if you take this fifth booster.
Tony in Downers Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy. John.
Hey.
John, yeah, we're that stupid. We're that dumb and stupid that we're going to forget.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Democrats, that's what the media banks on. They lie. Everything she said up there was a lie.
Yeah. Yep.
And on my soapbox again, every effing senator and congressman should be front and center calling out these lies and putting forward what they're going to do, period. We're losing the battle here, and we're going to continue to lose it. And as far as the vaccines are concerned, yeah, I mean, I have 3-2, mm-hmm. and I have had health, so, but I'm holding back.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll hurt. I don't know, but where's the transparency? There's more data coming out, more and more data coming out, and nobody's covering it. Yeah. Nobody's asking the questions. We are a stupid
society. 143,000 people more have cancer than they did last year, but I don't know. I can't associate that to the shot because I think a lot of people skip their screenings. Where I get my mammogram, and I asked her, I said, well, how many appointments did you have to cancel? They canceled 7,000 appointments in just a 3-month period during that time.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And I said, well, how many have come back? She's like, we've lost thousands.
Wow.
So people aren't getting cancer screenings because they missed them during that time, which they never should have cut those off to begin with. With more on all this, let's welcome back to the program Jessica Hockett, otherwise known as Emma Woodhouse on Twitter. Good morning. How are you?
Terrace.
Good morning. Formerly known as Emma Woodhouse on Twitter. Remember, I was kicked off.
I know, but wait, before we get to the goodies, what's the latest on that?
There is no latest. They said they denied my appeals, and they said your account will not be restored. So I can still see the account from my perspective, but nobody else can. So,
are you going to take this further? I mean, are you going to hire an attorney? Are you going to?
No. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait it out. I mean, I'm on Substack. I'm fine with that for now. So no, I'm not going to pay somebody thousands of dollars to restore my.
But we miss you. What if we start a GoFundMe page for you? Then what?
I'm not going to. I think I will eventually be vindicated. I'm just going to wait it out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about these reading and math scores that declined during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're acting like this was Trump's fault.
Yeah.
And not, you know, blue state run governors that did this. And I mean, how do we get back to normal?
Yeah, you know, Amy, I can't believe the attempted rewriting of history here. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, such as he was, love him or hate him, he was calling for opening schools in summer 2020. In fact, he threatened to remove federal funding for schools that did not open, and people were saying what a bully he was. And Governor Pritzker, he was like, well, we need guidelines from the CDC. We can only open schools if they're safe. I'm paraphrasing there, but people are forgetting what conflict there was that summer, and predictably, you know, a lot of schools did not open. I know where I lived at the time in Evanston, schools for younger kids didn't open, the public schools, till I think it was March or February 2021.
Yeah, we went back in March of 2021. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
high schoolers, which are better equipped to handle COVID than the younger kids, they're all fine. They, you know, the younger kids first, then if nobody dies, then we'll open up high schools. That was CPS's mentality.
Yeah, April 2021 was Evanston Township High School. It was just ridiculous. And so, the NAEP scores came out yesterday for 9-year-olds, and the results were entirely predictable. The scores have tanked. They'd flatlined for years, and then they tanked, and people are like, oh, you know, the pandemic did this. And well, the response to the pandemic did. I can, you know, say an amen to that. But we knew this would happen when we relegated kids to screen school, kept them at home. And I don't know if you talked about, Amy, there was some survey data with the NAEP scores too, where kids were asked about things like, you know, access to a computer at home, adults at home to help them with school. And, you know, predictably, kids who, lower income kids, did not have nearly as much access to supports at home, probably because they had parents who actually had to physically go into work, right? They had fewer resources overall. So, you know, the left and far left is always talking about equity. There was nothing equitable that happened in the past 2 years, including in Illinois. And now we are going to continue to, you know, it's reaping season, as one of my friends in the South said.
Oh, wow.
We're just going to keep reaping the consequences, right?
Yeah. And Jessica, I think the reason why they can rewrite history is because they silence voices like yours. And so that information is now gone and people can't look back. You look across, I mean, you couldn't talk about anything COVID related. So any information, any pushback is now completely wiped
away.
People
got divorced because of COVID vaccines.
Yes.
People lost custody of their children because they didn't get their kids vaccinated.
Yeah.
And then it's just sheer insanity. And then to blame Trump is just, as you both have said, is a way to rewrite history.
Yeah. And I think school boards matter. Who you elect in leadership of your city, your counties, it matters. Because we opened up way longer than that down in Kendall County and in Minooka school districts because we got good people who are reasonable, who understand that they were destroying these kids. These kids, and Jessica, let's speak to that. I mean, these kids were, I mean, they're affected in ways that we won't know until decades probably.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you know, people forget, like, there was the school closures for sure, but even what schools opened, we had these nonsense protocols where we had what I would call individual lockdowns, where kids were ordered to stay home for 10 to 14 days at a time, many whether or not they were sick, and just because they were exposed, you know, allegedly to somebody who had COVID. And so what do we think that did to kids' motivation, right? Yeah. To make them think that school is optional and could be canceled for them at any time.
Yeah.
And you still, I mean, kids that are asymptomatic are not in school because they weren't vaccinated, but they tested positive because one person in their class got tested. So they told them, well, you should all go, teachers telling them, well, you should all go get tested. And right now we have 1,453 students that are out of CPS. Now that's not a huge number compared to, you know, total of, I think, I don't even know how many kids are in CPS anymore because they're not giving us real attendance numbers.
Right.
But still, that's, I think one child is too much, let alone 1,453 that are locked out of government buildings because they might possibly have a cold.
Yep.
So we need to make this stop.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you know this, your listeners do, but, you know, chronic absenteeism under Illinois law, under the Illinois school code, is 18 days or more of school missed. I mean, how many kids? I know people whose kids missed, even after school opened back up, whose kids missed, you know, 30, 40. I know one woman downstate who her kid missed 70 days of school for being close contact, quarantined, and had to stay at home. Do we not think that matters? Do we not think that makes a difference, or that remote learning was some kind of substitute for in-person instruction? I'm sorry. People need to be held accountable for this. We can't keep blaming the pandemic.
Correct.
Right? It was decisions that were made by actual people, largely elected officials.
And Pritzker, let's just say his name.
And that's what I was going.
Yeah.
Because most people don't realize or understand that he continued the education levels until 2020, funding levels until 2023. So that no matter how many kids are coming out of school, these educational systems still get paid at the, I believe it was the 2020, 2019 level. I mean, that's outrageous that this guy who's unilaterally running this state.
Well, he's a tyrant.
Yeah, he's a tyrant. Right.
There's no three branches of government, and nobody stepped up to even try and challenge him, except for Darren Bailey when he could. All right, Jessica Hackett, we're going to have to leave it there today. Oh, yes.
Real quick.
Yes.
I can't wait. Jessica, September 10th, me, you, and Shannon Adcock on Black and
Right. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
Yes, that is Saturday, September 10th from 12 to 3, Black and Right Radio.
That's right.
Jessica will be there, and Shannon.
Shannon Adcock.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. And we can read you at where?
It's woodhouse.substack.com.
Yeah.
Woodhouse.substack.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Jessica, always a pleasure. You're the best. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
She joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You've made the switch, and it feels so good. You've switched to Chicago's morning answer on AM 560, The Answer.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft. And so Biden's primetime unity, I say in quotes, speech seemed to alienate half the country, calling MAGA Republicans a threat to the United States.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. The MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence. MAGA Republicans look at America and see carnage and darkness and despair. They spread fear and lies. Lies told for profit and power.
And on he went. And then John, he had a big ask here.
Yeah.
We're going to cure cancer. He brought that up again.
We're going to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words. We're going to create millions of new jobs in a clean energy economy. We're going to think big. We're going to make the 21st.
Blah, blah. He went on. It was 24 minutes long. He brought up Donald Trump's name a few times, which he hasn't in the past.
Yeah.
And MAGA Republicans are evil. He demonized everyone who ever voted for Trump. With more on this, let's welcome back to the program Brett Baer, host of Fox News Special Report and number one bestselling author of To Rescue the Republic, Ulysses S. Grant, The Fragile Union, and the Crisis of 1876. Well, it sounds like we're in a crisis,
yeah.
What President Biden said last night.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
It was interesting to watch. I think I commented afterwards that it was interesting to hear the White House press secretary yesterday afternoon say that the speech was not going to be political. It was everything. Everything was political. And, you know, it could have been a speech at a convention, you know, firing up the base. I think, you know, listen, he was trying to draw a contrast. He was basically providing a blueprint for Democrats to run on. And in doing so, the optics of the whole thing, I don't think worked for the Biden folks. I think just the visual of it and what exactly was said. He turned to more optimistic tone at the end and what he thinks America can be. But much of the speech was about really going after MAGA Republicans, and that obviously has polled very well in focus groups. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it 12 times in the first 12 minutes. And I think that they're trying to drive a wedge in the Republican Party to see how that plays.
I mean, basically, he smeared 70 million people who voted for Trump. And as you mentioned, in front of a flag and military members on primetime TV. But what was up with the red lighting? I mean, it looks so sinister, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit like it was a mistake. I mean, I don't, if you plan that it would be, you know, you would choose the deep red lighting with the Marines at parade rest by, you know, like in the background with the flag. I don't know. Just the image was not one that that spoke unity. Let's just say that it did not speak to that.
Yeah, he looked like a Sith Lord. That's what it looked like coming up.
Speaking or like the Merciless.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Have you seen all the memes, Brett, that are out there?
Yeah. Well, I have seen them.
Brett, if this was such an important speech for America, why didn't the networks carry this speech?
Well, first of all, he didn't ask for time. So, you know, the official ask is when the networks considered that. And I think most believed it was going to be a political speech, despite the White House's insistence that it wasn't. And most would have been right.
Yeah.
You know, NBC had, I think, Law and Order, and each network had their own thing. I think it was only MS and CNN that took it in its entirety. Yeah. Obviously, we had clips and we covered it real time. But I think that was the decision.
Yeah, I got one more question. As you look at the FBI, you look at the raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Has the FBI become a political institution, or is it just some, you know, rogue agents within the FBI? What are your thoughts?
Well, listen, we don't know the answer to that. I think that there are indications just by the past actions of the FBI and the Carter Page, FISA, you know, back and forth, and what we've seen in the past, that you have to be highly skeptical of this move. But we don't know everything, because we just haven't had that affidavit was redacted, and we're going to see what we learn. I will say this on the flip side: the former president is giving this administration some ammo when he goes out and says that he should be installed as the president, or there should be another election right now.
Yeah, right now.
By focusing, you know, by focusing on 2020, it just gives them ammo to do basically what President Biden did last night.
So the DOJ, though, spoke volumes through their court filings. That's how we were able to see, you know, the top secret documents, which are supposed to be top secret, that were, you know, haphazardly thrown on the floor. And President Biden responded to that yesterday.
A lot of people think that when you walk into my office, I have confidential documents or whatever it may be, all declassified. But I have confidential documents spread out all over my floor. And like a slob, like I'm sitting there reading these documents all day long, or somebody else would be. It's so dishonest when you look at it. And so people were concerned, because they said, gee, you know, that's a strange scene. You look at the floor and you see documents, right? They have cover sheets of documents. No, they put them there, John, and they put them there in a messy fashion. And then they took a picture and they released it to the public. And this is what we're dealing with these people.
So why do you think that they released all those pictures and information that he may have concealed and moved classified documents, and they found, you know, three top secret documents in his desk drawers?
Yeah, that seems very rare to see that kind of thing laid out in that way, a public filing. You know, usually that stuff doesn't come out until after, you know, there's been a charge.
Right.
An indictment. We're in a unique situation, and clearly I think the FBI and the DOJ were playing to the public there with laying that out. You do, for evidence, they do lay out evidence and take pictures, but usually don't see it until after a charge. And I think, you know, all of that leads to the concerns about how the FBI has acted. I think both sides, you know, have screwed up a little bit. I mean, the handling of the original documents and how that's transpired on the Trump side, and what we don't know about that. And then the raid or search, whatever you want to call it, was that justified in that level to get those documents? I don't think we know the answer to that question, but both sides seem like they have disorganization. And right. If I had a guess, I would guess that this is going to be negotiated without a charge, and they get their documents back.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in a minority there, because there's more and more experts saying that an indictment's coming.
Yeah,
but would the DOJ want to indict him? Especially, he's President Trump's number one rival.
Yeah, it's pretty. It'd be amazing as far as a political moment. A DOJ under a sitting president who could be facing this other person who may be the opposition political leader, that would be pretty rare.
And Brett, when you look at how a president declassifies, there's really nothing out there. You think Congress is going to look at this and maybe come up with some legislation to have a procedure of how the president can declassify and not declassify information?
You know, the Constitution and everything we have says that the executive, the president, is kind of the end decision maker. But there is a process. Usually it's the White House chief of staff who notifies the different agencies involved. If you're dealing with that level of high secret intelligence, other agencies have to know that there's a declassification process. So there had to be some kind of paper trail.
Which Cash Patel said they did before they left the White House.
That they declassified?
They declassified, yeah.
And let's see. I think there's, you know, Philbin and Scipione are testifying in front of a grand jury today in Washington. And you know, Scipione was obviously the White House counsel. So there would be a inside knowledge there under oath. I think that Congress doesn't know. Right. I just talked to a lot of people on the Intel Committee that they don't know exactly what documents are involved here. So there's a lot of we don't know going around Washington.
Why did he take him out in the first place?
I bet it's the Russian investigation and all that stuff.
Pardon?
My law enforcement background tells me it's all the investigations probably they had against him.
Is that Russia?
I just have a feeling that's, yeah, Russia. I think he took a lot of that information.
You know, just putting piecing it together, I mean, that's something that the former president would want.
Yeah.
Have or know about, and you're right. I mean, that's a possibility that that's what that deals with.
So do you think he's still going to announce that he's going to run, and will charges be announced after the midterm elections if he is indeed charged?
Yeah, it's a lot of hypotheticals. I don't know. I'm not convinced 100% that he's going to run. Everybody seems to think in Trump world that it's a done deal. I'm not there yet, but he could. I don't think it's going to happen before the election, though.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Brett Baer, thank you so much. Any big plans for your 3-day weekend? Are you going to be working?
I'm not going to be working.
Good
I'm
for
going
you.
To take my family to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Nice. And do some boating.
No fantasy league this year?
Yeah, I've got a fantasy draft on Sunday.
How many fantasy leagues are you in? Because Dan, I think, Dan used to be in 5.
Whoa.
So, but
I'm
then...
just in 1. I scaled it back. It was getting too much. Uh-huh. But my is in 4, and so I'm an advisor to his.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I took Lamar as my quarterback. I think he's going to have a great year this year.
Oh, you already did your draft?
I did. I fell asleep on it last night.
Oh, you did. I do the auto draft just
yeah.
in case.
Yeah.
The auto draft has
That's
done me
did.
Very well,
it
by the
do,
way.
It
so.
Did do me last night.
All right, Brett Baer, host of Fox News, special report number 1 best-selling author, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line. Thanks, Brett. Have a great
Thank
weekend.
You, sir.
Hear about the big stories of the day. Then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
If I can have a make-a-wish for old people, I want to go for a ride in Paul Conrad's van on WGN.
I just sent them the text.
Did you?
Yeah, I just sent them the text that Amy wants to be in your van.
I want to be in your van and we can sing or do whatever. Yeah.
His hand's a little shinier today, though.
What do you mean his hands?
Head.
Oh, his head.
His bald head. You know, if you see his glistening...
All right, so Kim Fox, to know her is to not appreciate what she's doing to this state by letting people who've been charged with murder out on electronic monitoring. That's okay. And then she'll say, well, no, I didn't do that. The judge did it. And the judge will say, well, I did it under your advisement. But there is one DA or prosecutor that is amazing. And you should get to know her. Her name is Fannie Willis.
Oh, Fannie.
How many people do you know who are
that
named
sound
Fannie?
Country.
Yes, well, Fulton County DA. Yeah. That's where home of Atlanta is. And now I'm into Atlanta because my son lives there because he goes to Georgia Tech. So she's not messing around. She arrested 26 Atlanta gang members on RICO charges.
Oh, yeah. YSL.
And she wants them to get out. Get out of my county.
Yeah. Get out of this county. Or expect to start seeing sentences that go life plus.
And here's the reason why they committed the crimes, but they also bragged about the crimes in these rap videos that they're making and
Young
they're posting.
Thug and
yeah. Well, she's on to you.
Yeah.
I'm not targeting anyone, but however, you do not get to commit crimes in my county and then decide to brag on it, which you do that for a form of intimidation and to further the gang and not be held responsible. One of the lyrics used in this indictment, just one of the lyrics is, me and my crew striking out, striking in all black. Send me the drop. We'll kick in the house. If we steal a car, we're going to take off the tag. Well, they're kicking in doors, committing home invasions.
Wow.
And now I'm using those lyrics that they're admitting to doing that. I'm going to continue to do that. People can continue to be angry about it. I have some legal advice. Don't confess to crimes on rap lyrics
if
you do not want them used, or at least get out of my county.
Oh, I just got the chill. I mean, can you imagine if we had that type of leadership here in Chicago?
She's in danger. A woman that speaks like that, a black woman, is she a Democrat too?
I think so.
Amy, you don't speak like that.
What do you mean you speak like that?
Because you're going against the black culture. You're definitely going against the black culture when you're speaking out.
Do you think she's going to get offed or something?
What I'm saying is I would feel for her safety because, I mean, if you're getting somebody on RICO charges, that means they're an organized crime unit.
Right.
And most gangs are an organized crime unit. Well, they are. I mean, I actually tried to push RICO into politics, but they wouldn't let me do it when I was state rep. But I feel for her safety because that's what if Kim Fox did just a small bit
a
of
fourth,
that.
I would like a fourth of it, just baby steps.
Do you know how it would change the trajectory of Cook County criminals?
Yeah, because of criminals, no. And yes, Fannie Willis is a Democrat.
Ooh.
Here's her information. You should have her on your show.
Yeah, they're going to come after her.
You think?
I do.
No.
I do. I'm going to reach out to her.
Have you been to Atlanta lately?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Ooh. Yes. Ooh. We were staying in a hotel. We were staying in a hotel. The entire hotel was full of smell like nothing but weed. We had to get out of there. We couldn't stay down there when we traveled.
It was Georgia Tech safe. And I like the Georgia Tech police because if any riffraff comes in, because I walked the dogs late at night when we were dropping Peyton off. They on it.
Well, they have to be.
I mean,
you're not,
get away.
Yeah.
We don't care why you're here. You're not a student here.
Yep.
You're off campus.
Wow.
So it was, and then I drove around the area and thought, dear Lord, it was an open air drug market just a few blocks away. And I just,
they're going to come after her politically.
Reminded me of Detroit.
They'll come after her politically too.
And it's outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
So
hear about the big stories of the day. Then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony and for Dan Prof today.
Hey. Today's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, happy. What year?
She's 16 years old. Kirsten, happy birthday.
Hi, Kirsten. Happy birthday to you, too.
Sweet 16.
Yeah, maybe she can listen in at 8 o'clock, too.
Oh, yeah.
For our surprise guest.
Yeah.
Our next guest, you know him, you love him, Dick Morris. He is former advisor to Bill Clinton and author of the new book, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. Good morning, Mr. Morris. How are you?
Good morning. You didn't mention my redemption. I worked for Trump in 2016 and 2020.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, so how do you feel this morning that, you know, you're a threat to the United States? All of us, 70 million Americans who voted for President Trump are evil. We've been demonized by President Biden, and we are a threat to democracy and the United States of America.
Yeah, right. I think that it's really important to understand what Biden is really trying to do. And his long-term game plan. I explained it in my book, The Return, and let me amplify it now because it's particularly timely in light of that speech. His goal here is to make Trump radioactive so that Republicans start questioning whether they should go with Trump.
Yep.
And they begin to say, well, why don't we go with DeSantis or somebody who is not radioactive and is Trump-lite? He has the issues, but not the personality and not the baggage. And the Democrat goal is to goad the Republicans into a civil war, because Trump is not going to yield his front-runner status easily. He got cheated out of the 20 election. He's damned if he's going to be cheated out of 24 as well. And if DeSantis were to run, or anybody would run against Trump other than like Cheney, but I mean a serious candidate, this would provoke a civil war in the Republican Party that it might take decades to recover from, or a decade to recover from, and would open the door to a Democratic victory for certain. And that's the Democratic strategy. They want to make Trump radioactive. And the short-term strategy is that they want to make Trump the center of attention, so that nobody knows that Biden's alive. Well, he's not really, but that they pay no attention to Biden, and all the effort, all the focus is on Trump. And that way they avoid any of the negatives about inflation and gas prices and the immigration and the horrible record of his presidency, because it's not about Biden.
Right.
The idea is that in politics, there can only be one spotlight at a time. In 2016, the spotlight was on Hillary, and nobody much focused on Trump at all. Then after Trump won, of course, the focus was on him. And then after Trump left, the focus was on Biden, of course, as it should be. But now the focus, they want to move the focus back to Trump.
Right.
So that Biden can get away with everything without people really noticing. Let me just one last point.
Okay,
yeah. In the last 2 months, with no noticeable improvement in the economy, and in fact, deterioration, 17% of Americans who used to say the economy was getting worse now say it's getting better, which it's not. It's just that Biden's been away. He's been on vacation. He hasn't been on the scene. And Trump has, with Mar-a-Lago, has sucked up all the oxygen in the room. And that is their strategy. It reminds me so much of when I worked for Bill Clinton. The Republican strategy was to make everything about Monica Lewinsky. And nobody noticed that there was a guy named Osama bin Laden and that there was Afghanistan, all of that. Nobody paid any attention to it. The only thing they wanted to talk about was Monica.
Yeah.
And the result was that that caused the Republicans to lose seats in Congress. For the first time in history, the president's party did not lose during the midterm elections. And that's but Democrats are trying to replicate the same feat but pull it off. So that everybody talks about Trump and nobody talks about Biden anymore. Nobody talks about our problems. Nobody talks about his failures. All the focus is on Trump.
Yep.
Yeah, but
and
to
the hope
be this...
there is to make him radioactive and to get him
right.
into a problem.
Yeah. Well, do you think the FBI raid boosted his poll numbers?
Yeah, it did. It's a question of think. It did. But dropped Biden's. And I think if they indict Trump, and I believe that they're going to indict Trump for the petty, wow. picayune crime of obstruction of the archives.
it's like an overdue library book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Department of Justice,
hey,
with this court filing, they released all those pictures and the information that he moved.
Amy, that is a brilliant line. I'm going to use that all over the country, like an overdue library book. Oh, man. And I think Stephen King has a novel out called The Library Policeman.
Oh, there you go. You can use that National Archive employee who's really persnickety, and he's a lifelong Democrat, and he's hell-bent on taking on...
guy who noticed that his files are not complete, and he wants them complete.
Yeah.
And they're going to indict a potential president of the United States and a past one for record-keeping. And overdue library book, man.
Yeah.
That is precious. Oh, my God.
Hey, Dick, I should pay you royalty. Hey, Dick Morris.
What's your name?
My name is John. John Anthony.
No, hers.
Oh, Amy.
Amy Jacobson. What's
your last name?
Jacobson. I've met you before. Okay. It was years ago. We were at some function.
So I'm going to quote you by name.
Okay.
That is so brilliant.
Oh, look
overdue
at that.
Overdue library book.
You got to go national.
Oh,
international, Amy.
Okay. I want to make sure I didn't hear that somewhere else, but.
Yeah. Well,
Amy
you said
Jacobson.
It. You said it here today.
Well, I would have heard it somewhere else because I'm all over the place about this.
but we
have to realize what their game is.
Yeah. When you look at, you talked about the documents, classified documents. Your former boss, Bill Clinton, he kept secrets in his sock. He did that, and Barack Obama has 33 million documents sitting right here
in Chicago.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
You think they went through all 33 million documents to determine if he has
no.
anything in there?
No, of course not. And we should trust Donald Trump because for 4 years as president and 2 years as ex-president, he didn't leak anything.
Correct.
When he got out of office, he didn't get on the phone. Hey, Vladimir, do I have a trove for you?
Yeah.
He didn't do that. And so this is literally an overdue library book. That is a wonderful way to. In fact, I'm going to speak to the president today before his speech tomorrow. I'm going to quote that line to him.
Okay, cool. Great. That'd be wonderful. Have you spoken
with him,
to the president? I mean, how's he holding up?
He's holding up great. You know, my former boss, Bill Clinton, lived for adulation. That energized him. Mm-hmm. That's why he was so promiscuous. But Trump lives for adversity and challenge.
Mm.
And the more he's challenged, the more aggressive and energized and basically focused and happy he is. And he's doing great. He just thinks Biden has so screwed up.
Yeah.
And he's up for the challenge. The key thing we have to understand is we have to make sure that our people get it, that a Republican primary would be a disaster. It would put Biden back in office or elect some crazy leftist. And that is the Democratic goal, to foment a primary. They want us to say, hey, why should we say, hey, I know the guy didn't do anything. I know the archives thing is phony. I know the Russia thing was phony. I know the Ukraine thing was phony. I know the January 6th thing is phony. But why the hell should we nominate a candidate with this kind of baggage?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about tomorrow night's speech where the president is speaking. And this is big because this is his first public appearance since Mar-a-Lago was raided.
Well, I hope, and I've advised him, to really go after Biden and make Biden the issue. Not play defense, but offense.
Yep.
I don't think people care about whether there was anything at Mar-a-Lago. I think that what's important to people is inflation and the gas prices and immigration and crime and the daily reality that Biden has created out of almost nothing because of all of the all these situations were well under control when Trump was president. And I think Trump needs to get up there and say gas was $1.80 when I was there. Now it's $4. Inflation was under 2%, and now it's close to 10. Illegal immigration, the border was shut down. We've just had over a million people coming over illegally this year. And really just lay out that comparison. Because the key thing about Donald Trump is he's half incumbent and half challenger. Yeah. He's a hybrid, like a Toyota. And the part that is the part that the challenger says how bad things are, but the part that is the ex-incumbent says how good things were and could be again.
Yeah. And you know, Dick, what do we do to this FBI to reel them in? Because, I mean, when you look at the FBI, you look at what Congress has done. I mean, I think people don't understand the lengths the left will go to destroy not only Donald Trump, but anybody that comes as the next Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, those poor guys who are rotting in prison from speaking out against an election that was rigged. Unbelievable. Well, the long-term answer to your question is a very specific one. Trump has proposed doing the same thing with the federal government that he did with the Veterans Administration, where he lifted civil service protections for employees. And so that it was possible. So now it's possible to fire anybody without going through the civil service process. And that has tremendously improved the service at the VA. And he's proposing to do that with all federal workers. And that will stop the deep state. Bill Clinton used to tell me, being president's like running a cemetery. You got thousands of people under you, but nobody listens to you.
All right, Dick Morris, we're going to have to end there today. He is former advisor to President Trump, 2016-2020, and author of the new book, Go Pick It Up. It's called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. You're already on the New York Times bestselling list, so
I gotta
congratulations.
Go
yes.
I got to go pick up that book.
The Return, that's what it is. Mr. Amy, Morris, have a wonderful day. Yes, sir.
Amy, thank you.
You're welcome. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, I've been trying to get to this story all week. Because Mayor Lightfoot has given each alderman, and how many aldermen are there?
50. Each 25 alderman, soon, right?
Each alderman gets $100,000 to spend any way they want. Any way they want. Whoa. So we found out how some are spending their money. Alderman Matt O'Shea from the 19th Ward, he is hiring private unarmed security to patrol business corridors in Beverly, Mount Greenwood, and Morgan Park.
Oh.
And that doesn't sit well with Madam Mayor.
I have great concerns about private security officers acting like are passing themselves off as CPD officers, particularly when those private security companies are hiring off-duty Chicago police officers. Look, I get the concerns, absolutely, but there's got to be communication and not unilateral action, particularly when if those are off-duty Chicago police officers, if something goes wrong, guess who gets sued? Guess who's going to be on the hook? So I do have great concerns about that. We've faced this issue in wealthier neighborhoods across the city, and all I've ever asked and will keep saying is you've got to be in communication with us. Acting unilaterally is a recipe for disaster. I don't know enough details about what Alderman O'Shea has done, but it's not an answer, particularly if you're not acting in collaboration with the police department, because only people who have authority under state law to patrol our streets are Chicago police officers, no one else.
Doesn't she have private security?
And hey, rules for me, but not for thee.
Oh, okay, I'll be quiet.
Yeah, no, she does have private security, and then she has private security detail. There, people keep asking. She has 80 officers assigned to her. Next time I see her, no, I don't know. I have to ask her because that is just it's a huge amount of officers. And I mean, Rom had, because he lived by me, so he had about four or five, and they rotated.
Yeah.
So
I knew one of them.
Oh, well, one of Rom's.
Yeah.
Did he treat them well?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. He did.
I appreciate Rahm Emanuel. He made the 606. Have you been to the 606 trail?
I have not been to the 606. What? I don't live in Chicago.
Rob Blagojevich didn't go to the 606 trail. Everyone should go to the 606 trail.
I can get robbed?
No, you're not going to get robbed.
I don't want to have to shoot anybody.
Okay. All right. So, other aldermen, Northside freshman, Northside alderman. Oh, what's his name? Andre Vasquez. Remember that name.
Okay.
Later on in life.
Okay.
He's spending $23,000 for a new website.
Bruh, give me a call. I can get you the cheap, for real. 100.
He's also paid $15,000 to advocacy group to engage residents, about their perceptions of how safe they are and thinking through public safety solutions that don't involve police.
Wow.
So he's a defund police, but the Democratic memo has changed on that.
Yeah.
Real quick, another alderman, James Kappelman, he is spending $48,000 to go to homeless people. So, folks, this is already happening here. He's using this micro grant to pay for motels and hotels for 50 homeless people, and it's running about $100 per night. So that's how he's spending his money and his ward, is to get homeless people into hotels and motels. I told Dan it was going to come here, and it's already here.
Yeah.
Housing the homeless in hotels.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Our surprise mystery guests have arrived. We're going to give you a little tease to see if you can guess who they are and what they're doing.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
Sing it.
Oh, I love to eat it every day.
I can't sing.
If you ask me, what I'll say. Because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-O-G-N-A.
Years later, I can still sing that song. All right. We have Abby Frankerfurter.
She butchered
Pretty close. It's pronounced Frankfurter in my family.
Frankfurter. Okay. Abby Frankfurter. And Queso Dog Kayla. They are joining us, and they are driving around the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah.
Thank you. Some applause
no
there.
Applause,
so, ladies, how did you, first of all, because I always find it fascinating, because thousands of people, and maybe even more, apply for your job. So let's start with you, Abby. How did you apply? Who did you have to compete against? How did you get the gig?
Right. Yeah. Thank you for asking. I actually went so far as to wear a hot dog costume during my interview.
Very memorable.
And I remember when the video screen turned on, the interviewers started dying laughing, and I looked down and I said, oh, is there something on my shirt? I'm so sorry. That's so embarrassing.
A little mustard?
Yeah, a little relish. So that's what I did in my interview.
Oh, that's great. Was it a virtual interview or were you in person?
Yes, it was Zoom.
It was Zoom? Oh, my gosh. And what about you? How did you get it?
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could say I wore a hot dog costume because that is just gold. But no, I did the traditional... a business professional, and somehow I still got the job. I don't know.
So how many rounds of interviews did you have to go through?
There were several.
Yeah, several, like about three or so.
Yeah.
Wow. Initial screening, and then another interview, and then another one. Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being about a few months.
And then before they told you?
Right.
Before we cut the mustard and made the role.
Oh. All right, so how many people applied for these jobs? Because this is a big deal. I mean, if you're in marketing or if you want to be in advertising, this is a great gig to have on your resume, and it's a one-year deal, correct?
Right. Yeah, we're definitely some lucky dogs. We hear that they get a couple grand applications every year, so we're really excited to be here.
Okay. And what do you do? So, what's your job responsibilities?
Spreading smiles. That's about the majority of the job. I mean, like you see the giant 27-foot-long hot dog on wheels driving into town, and you've got to just smile, right?
Right. Now, who did you have to get a special driver's license to drive that, a CDL, or what's underneath it?
Yeah, good question. We actually go to Hot Dog High School to learn how to drive it.
We got our doggrees.
Yeah, our doggrees.
Oh, my. Where is Hot Dog High where you learned how to drive
it? It's in Wisconsin. But we actually don't need a CDL. We just get special training and do a few hours of dog driving.
Is it a stick shift? Is it manual? What is it?
No, it's automatic.
It's automatic?
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I can't do a puns.
I know. It's called. Oh, my goodness. John Anthony, do you have a question for the
ladies? I got two, right?
You were talking during the break. I'm like, I'd save
first of all,
it for
the
show,
hot
man.
Where are the hot dogs? You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that must be that people think that you serve hot dogs out of that wiener mobile.
And I have the most important question of all. Do you put ketchup on your hot dogs?
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
You do want to get political. First of all, for the hot dog question, no, we don't serve hot dogs with the Wienermobile. That is probably the most popular question we get. Yeah. People see the hot dog and they're like, I'm hungry now and I want a hot dog, which is good.
Yeah. But you right now.
Right, you know? We actually need breakfasts today.
A breakfast hot dog.
That's why I'm losing so much weight, because I'm eating right and taking Balance of Nature.
Thank you very much.
So far as the ketchup, yeah. I recently had a Chicago native tell me that Chicagoans are closet ketchup eaters.
Oh, that's blasphemous. No. No, okay, no.
I disagree. When I was a kid growing up in Mount Prospect, outside of O'Hare Airport, on River Road there, we always, always had ketchup with our hot dog. Oh, Mike, Scott, get in. Wait, why?
No.
Why is this a negative connotation?
I'm not even from Chicago, and I'm from Michigan. I don't put ketchup on hot dogs. I hate ketchup.
Thank you.
It do you is put ketchup the worst. On hamburgers?
Nothing.
I do on hamburgers.
It is worst.
Why are you so vehemently opposed to ketchup?
I have no idea. It's just a stand I took when I was a young kid, and I'm sticking to it.
And he's sticking to it.
Ketchup is all.
What are you doing to me, Mike?
So do you know most of Americans, because you've traveled all over the country, right?
Just about.
What state have you been to? Or what state are you have yet to tackle?
We've actually been to about, was it 11? 12 states, I think, we've crossed.
How many countries?
Countries. Well, we've done the United States. That's about it.
That's
usually
it
travels. Well, but we did visit Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So how the heck did you get the wiener mobile? Does it float? How did you get over? Did you take a...
We put it on a barge, and it was over in Puerto Rico for about four and a half weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When did you do it? That must have been awesome.
It was the month of July, and we toured all around the whole island. So it was pretty crazy.
It was actually our first month on the job, which is pretty wild.
They sent you to Puerto Rico your first month?
First month.
That's...
Did you go to El Yunque, like the rainforest and all, and Ponce? Did you go to Ponce?
Yep. We did all the beaches, all the food.
There's a nice restaurant right at the base of the rainforest, and they have some of the best Puerto Rican steak rice. Ooh. With grilled onions and gravy. Oh, it was the best.
You didn't have any pasteles? Those
no,
were really
no,
good
no, 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 they didn't. But it was so good.
By the time we left, we felt local there. We were like, well, this is our home.
Well, what were people's reactions? And let's start with Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great thing. The Wienermobile had not been there for many years. Actually, on the island, they have a different model. It's a 1969 model that's just kind of there. It's not like usable to move, but it's there and on display. And so it was kind of like bringing back the childhood for a lot of people to see the newest version. We took our newest 2022 Wienermobile to Puerto Rico.
Oh, so you're in a new ride, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
Now, do you sleep in? I know after the show, we're going to. Well, after the show, and Quinn is our producer, is just so excited to go inside the Wienermobile. I've never seen him so excited in my entire life.
He was down there greeting us.
Hi, I'm right. Was he really?
That
waiting?
Was exactly. Yeah, he had a sign like in the airport.
So kind. Yeah.
So what, I'm Quinn McCarthy.
Right. What happens after the 1 year's over? Does Oscar Mayer hire you on to the company, or you go elsewhere?
We can stay with Oscar Mayer. We can move on. It's kind of up to us. But this is a dream job. So
really,
we're having a lot of fun.
Because you get to travel. And get paid to travel. Mike has a question for you.
So, when you went to Wiener School, did you study who the most famous Oscar Mayer Wienermobile driver has been?
Oh,
wow! Ooh,
do you have a list of them.
That's a good question. We have a lot.
I was just thinking about that. Who do you have a list of?
I don't have a list. I have a number one.
Really?
Who we know personally here on the station.
Don't say Dan
Howell. John Howell.
No, John Howell.
Dan Proft.
No.
Ramblin' Ray.
No, a politician, a former politician.
Joe Walsh?
No. No, our friend just north of the border from Janesville, Wisconsin, Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan drove the Wienermobile for an entire year.
You know what's crazy? I was just about to say, like, there's just so many connections we make as being hot doggers. That's our role.
Right.
That's what you're called, hot doggers.
That's our official title, hot doggers. And so, like, every year, it's just one class. We're class 35, really. And so there's 12 people that are just brought together from different parts of the United States. And then we get to know about all the past hot doggers and connect with them and visit them on the road. So
there's
a lot of that.
Is there a reunion of all drivers of the Wienermobile? Hey, maybe that's, you can start that, right?
Say, we think we need to do that.
Yeah.
It's more like we're in like Chicago and we say like, hey, we're here. And then people that are living here that are past hot doggers like, hey, we're here. How about we host it for a dinner, stop by.
Great.
It's great.
Do you plan out where you're going to go during your year? Do you know what state you're going to visit?
We usually know our schedule about a month in advance.
Okay.
But people can book the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile on OscarMayer.com.
Really?
So go to OscarMayer.com.
Right. Yeah.
Do you do 50-year-old birthday parties?
Yes.
Oh, sounds like Quinn's going to have a party.
Oscar.
We have a wedding coming up soon, too. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
OscarMayer.com. You have a wedding?
Oh, yes.
Everybody, I mean, I'm telling you, it's for everybody, the Wienermobile.
And people are obsessed. We have people travel for hours to come see us when we do grocery store events.
We're just there taking photos, having a good time. And people are like, I traveled like 2 hours to get here. And oh my gosh, I've never seen it. And it's so they make a whole trip.
Now, so you don't live in hotels. You live in the Wienermobile, right? Is that a myth?
No. Common question. It's not a weenie bago. We stay in hotels full time.
Oh, you still? Okay. That's good. Do they make you share a room or do you have some alone time?
Sometimes we share rooms just for fun, but usually we have our own rooms.
You have your own rooms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you still have the old fashioned, I don't know if they still have updated them, the old fashioned Wienermobile whistles to hand out?
Such a good question, Mike.
We actually show them those.
There they are. Look at those.
That's an updated version, actually.
Is that right?
Always give the weenie whistle. That is like the classic.
Oh, this is a whistle?
That is a whistle. And you can only ever get one if you see us in person with the Wienermobile. So they're pretty iconic and collectible.
Wait, what's wrong with me?
That's it.
You got to practice. Oh, there you go.
Hey, it says a collectible. Why did you open it?
Well, I don't know because I'm stupid. It's a whistle.
It's a collectible.
I thought I could do this.
Got to give her another one now.
Oh, man.
So she can have a collectible.
I know. There's sometimes when I'm like holding it out on like both of my palms and I'm like to a kid.
It's like gold.
This is a collectible, like, take care of it. And they're like, rip it open. Mm-hmm. They're just having fun. But it's so
Amy's
fun.
Amy's a kid at heart.
Sorry, I didn't know. I thought maybe. All right, so what's your tell us about your schedule that's, you know, here in Chicago, because you're here for Labor Day weekend, folks. So pay attention. And do you want your schedule? Here you go. Tell us where you're
going to
be.
So we're going to the 40th Taste of Melrose Park. That's actually tonight from 5 to 10. We're really excited about that. And then we'll be in the Oak Forest Park District. That'll be on Sunday.
Southside.
Right. And then we'll be in the Schaumburg Parade, actually, after that. We're really excited. But the rest of our schedule should be on OscarMayer.com. We'll be here for about another week and a half.
And then where do you go from here?
Good question. The West Coast, actually.
So you're going to drive all the way? What is this, a like a hybrid car? Or is this is this an EV?
It's 27 feet long, yeah, 26 huge. Feet long.
Yeah, 27 right? feet long. Or
huge.
60 yeah. hot dogs long. That's
oh,
our favorite
there you
metric.
Go. Yeah. 60 hot dogs long.
This is, I mean, you guys gotta, you can't make like hairpin turns with this thing.
Actually, you'd be surprised.
Now, I'm surprised the former journalist hasn't asked this question. Have you two been pulled over?
Yo!
Because I know for a fact in Arizona, twice in Wisconsin in recent years, the Mobile has been pulled over. Have you two been pulled over?
We happily have not been pulled over.
Okay. Okay. Right.
I'm literally hearing myself knock on wood.
If I was still a cop, I would have probably pulled them over. Yeah. I would have found a reason.
Oh, to pull.
I would have found a reason just to pull you
just
over.
To get a hot dog
just
from
get
us?
A whistle. Just, hey, a hot dog whistle, you know?
Oh, my God. That is so you've never been pulled over?
No.
All right, Melrose
do
cops, get on
drive
it.
By you and wave? And
yeah. Everybody enjoys the Wienermobile, yeah. And everybody... Also, lots of truckers just drive by and wave. They, like,
oh,
seen
I'm
it
sure.
all the time on the road.
Yep. We actually have, like, a CB radio in the Wienermobile,
oh.
and we figured out how to make it work so that we can hear truckers, but they can't hear us.
Yeah, so you hear them, and they're like, look at the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile on the road right now.
Yeah. I love you ladies. That's great. All right, so if you want to book it, so what? By the way, when's your wedding? Or did you already have the wedding?
The wedding you're
attending. It's coming up. That's
okay.
the wedding
Next
for,
week.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! And you split driving time, and
yeah.
you
do
keep
we
each other
turns.
Interested. You listen to books on tape and things like that.
Oh my goodness, made me laugh. We have come up with so many different little. We have so many. Different...
What's that inside story?
We have come so on. Many different car games and music.
Wait, not while you're driving though, right?
Well, no, you can play car games.
Well, one of us is driving, and the other one is
entertaining.
Okay.
The other person.
Entertaining, yeah.
Yeah. Like a cruise director. Lowering in the window to stay up, right?
I like that. What's the craziest thing you've heard on the two-way radio?
Uh-oh.
Oh,
because we used to listen to two-way because when I, you know, was in the news truck, even if you're not talking, you can hear other cars talking to each other.
Right. No, honestly, people are just like, whoa, giant hot dog. Did you see the hot dog? It's funny because it's all staticky. So it goes like, Wienermobile.
We're
hot dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's driving? Yeah. That kind of thing.
So where did you girls go to?
For the life of us, we can't get anything out.
Where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Texas for my undergraduate and
sure.
Vanderbilt for my master's.
Sure.
Oh, nice.
Amazing. I went to the University of Texas, but in just like a sister school, University Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah, I was going to say
good
Texas.
For you.
Or, yeah. Austin,
yeah,
brother.
Yep. Yeah. I used to live in El Paso. I love Texas.
Oh,
that's a big
great.
State, though. Woo.
Yeah. I know. Everyone
drive
like,
through that one. That, is just, that just gets you right there.
Yeah.
The Texas.
It's funny because we tell people we're from Texas. They're like, oh, so you guys knew each other before the job? We're like, no.
No. I mean,
not at all. It's a big place.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Abby Frankfurter.
Yes.
Oh.
Hey.
That's the one.
Thank you. Hey, Queso Dog.
Kayla.
Two of the 12 recent college graduates that drive the iconic Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Wait, how many Wienermobiles are there?
So there are 6 Wienermobiles and 2 drivers per vehicle. Nice. So there are 12 hot doggers.
Yeah, so you guys just divide and conquer. It's the best form of advertising.
Is it paid good?
I mean, don't you think?
It's competitive. Yeah. But yeah, each vehicle is in a different region of the United States. So we're actually supposed to be the West Coast team, but
we're on
we're
this side
Chicago,
of
Chicago. Yeah, we're working our way there.
Wait,
for you. Well, you're in Puerto Rico, so you're heading back that way.
Yeah,
that's exactly
yeah.
right. Yeah,
yeah
we're
so.
We're coming back from our Puerto Rican tour and stopping on
different
cities along the way.
Where were you last, by the way? Just curious.
We were in Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, good.
There for a while.
All right. Well, thank you two very much. If you want to rent the Wienermobile, go to oscarmeyer.com. All right, and thank you both so much, and I'm sure a lot of people will come and see you this Labor Day weekend.
Somebody said they go to Jack the Wienermobile on YouTube.
Oh, somebody
be
said
careful.
Yeah,
because
they're going to carjack.
They're going to carjack the Wienermobile.
Well, it weighs about 140,000 hot dogs,
Let's
so
see if
it would
can.
Be hard.
Everything's in hot dogs. You see that?
Everything.
But you know what does bother me?
What?
You know what makes me really sick to my stomach?
What?
It's watching you stuff your face with those hot dogs. Nobody. I mean, nobody puts ketchup on a hot dog.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Open Mic Friday! Call in now! Open Mic Friday!
All right. It is Open Mic Friday. The time has arrived. Where did the time go? The show flew by fast today.
Yeah.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Text
guess how
us
much
if you
costs.
Want.
Guess how much okay. it costs to rent the Wienermobile.
The question is, how much does it cost to rent the Wienermobile? And the answer is?
Free.
It's free.
It's free.
Just have to see if it's available. Yeah. So go to OscarMayer.com. Right. Maybe, you know what?
You going to rent it? You should rent it for Dan's birthday next year.
Yeah, no, I'll pass. 51? Who cares when you're 51? When you turn 50, nobody cares until you're 60. Uh-oh. Really, let's just be honest. But we do, you know, remember this other Oscar Mayer song.
Class attention. Forward march. Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me. A big parade is so inspiring. Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Hey, what?
That is what I never want to be.
Because
if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me. Oh, I love to be an
Oscar Mayer wieners
wiener.
Are all meat, all good meat, rich and complete meat protein, mildly seasoned to bring out all the good meat flavor.
Everyone would be in love with me.
Boom, boom. Next week, you'll handle just the refreshments, Freddy.
Is that the whistle?
Yeah, sounds like it.
All right, 312-642-5600. Let's go to Bill on the north side. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Back in the late 1950s, early 60s, the original Little Oscar used to come to our DeCoven drugstore in the southeast side periodically, and he was about 5'2", and he looked just like the cartoon commercial that they had, and he'd give us the wiener whistles and things and that, and he was such a good guy. I mean, I remember seeing him for quite a few years, you know, through the years over there, but I just wanted to say that, and I don't know whatever happened to him, but because, you know, they were based out of my old town in the north side over there. That's where Oscar Mayer's headquarters and where the factory was, you know. Yeah. So, and still to this day, the best bologna that you're going to get is from Oscar Mayer.
Yep.
Okay, well, you guys take care and have a nice Friday.
All right, thanks, Bill. Yeah. You were saying, did you live near that?
Yeah, Cabrini. It was right over by Cabrini Green, right down the street from Cabrini.
Was the Oscar Mayer
I don't
Mayer
know if it
plant?
Was the headquarters. I thought it was the plant.
The plant.
Yeah.
The beef plant. All right, let's see. Wait, any more? Oscar Mayer. Wait, somebody was on the line that they were going to sing for us, Cindy, but she dropped. All right, let's go to the Amish Texter. Well, isn't this a treat? Hello, Amish Texter. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. And happy birthday. Was it Kirsten?
Kirsten, yeah. Yeah, my daughter.
I love that name. I almost named my daughter that.
Nice.
But I ended up with Tatiana. But anyhow. So I was enjoying Emperor Palpatine's speech last night. I just was confused whether I was watching Eyes Wide Shut or The Hunger Games. But I was happy to see that he did announce building a Death Star. But I kind of expected him to announce Order 66 to kill all MAGA Republicans. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was it's very bizarre.
Dark, but the Baphomet statue in the back was nice touch with the Marines. But by the way, Trump will run, and I'm saying just to stick it to them, he should name Rick Grenell as VP. Can you imagine an openly gay MAGA Republican and watch the heads explode?
Because
actually, Rick Grenell's been great as far as a supporter. But then I think he should move to Wyoming right next to Liz Cheney just because he can.
Oh, to get under her skin. All right, thanks, Amish Texter. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sharon in New Lenox. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Sharon.
Hi there. How are you, Amy? We're going to be doing Wild Fest again. Remember, we came into the studio a couple of times, brought our animals in, and I just wanted to let you know we're coming in. We're doing it again on September 18th. We're going to be at Big One Wolf Ranch again. And it's going to be Sunday the 18th from 10 to 4. And we'd love it if you came out too, brought your boys out. But it's going to be a great event. We wanted to advertise it again, let people know that they can come out and enjoy a lot of exotic animals and help out some great people who are doing education around the Chicagoland area with animals.
That's great. And you know what? You should come back in for during Halloween and bring your bats.
What? I'd love to do that.
Bats?
I'd love to do that.
Oh,
yes,
she brings
definitely.
Bats. Like, yeah. There are bats hanging off of...
Yeah, I could bring my tarantulas. I could bring my snakes, too. I've got a couple
it's
of...
It's no for me, dog.
Why? You should have seen bats were hanging off of Dan Prof's shirt.
I'm like,
he didn't flinch. Oh no, what's wrong with
Randy
bats?
Jackson.
Bats are beautiful.
Randy Jackson, that's a no for me, dog.
You know what we do is we try to have people understand that these animals are not really scary. You know, they're all beneficial. We do education around the Chicagoland area. I've got like 45 shows I'm doing just in October alone.
Wow.
And I'm a school teacher during the day, but I'm doing nights and weekends,
nice.
And so I have 2 days off that whole month. In that. So it's incredible. Since COVID has ended, we've come back with a great vengeance now, and we're doing so many venues, and it's wonderful, doing all kinds of parties, birthday parties, and all that. But you can find our information about WildFest on wildfestevents.com is our website for that.
Okay.
And we've got 5 for animal people out there that are going to be doing it. Myself and Colonel Bass will be there, and the Natural Naturalist, Cross-Cut Exotics, Wild Big One Wolf Ranch, and then Scales and Scales, Wings and Talons is going to be there too. At their
now, Sharon, place, so. since COVID was associated with bats at first, remember that? Is anybody afraid of the bats because of that?
No. My bats, of course, are born and raised in captivity. You know, we have to be USDA certified, so we've got, that protocol and all that stuff. All of our animals are, our houses are inspected. So we're cool.
All right.
Cool,
thanks, Sharon.
Amy.
And have fun this weekend.
Thank you so much.
When I was a kid, I got attacked by a bat. Nope.
Oh, you
not
did?
Doing bats. Nope. I'm like bat. I'm
what
like Batman.
So he's just trying to land on you?
Yeah, I don't know if we were in Mississippi or Alabama. I was a young kid. And, I'm not going to lie. I agitated the bat.
Well, of course you did. What did you do?
I probably threw something up at him just to see if he could move. But and he moved and he came right at me.
Ew, there it is. Your bats.
Yeah. Nah, that's a no for me,
that's
dog.
That's a no. Okay.
Nope. I still have nightmares.
David and Lansing, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. I thought I'd close out your show with a quote from Mayor Lightfoot from February 27th, 2020. I think it was the date. Quote, they're critical because we have said very clearly we're a welcoming city. We're a sanctuary city.
Ooh.
The Chicago Police Department will not cooperate with ICE on any immigration-related business. How do you like that?
Wait, where'd you get that quote from?
From Mayor Lightfoot, she said that.
It was on the CBS website, CBSNews.com. Mayor Lightfoot defends Chicago's sanctuary city law was the heading.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that quote, and that's like saying, come on in, illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
We'll accept you,
That's, except when they come on in, and she has to accept him, but bashes Greg Abbott on the way.
Right.
Saying, he's xenophobic,
racist.
Give me a break. Speaking with the theme of Mayor Lightfoot, let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. And then when I'm finished with this, I just add something. I'm curious if Mary Lightfoot should probably rent the Wienermobile for the next Gay Pride Parade.
Because she has the biggest schlong in town.
Oh,
well, that's
apparently. Either that or the Italian American parade.
Oh my! Can you imagine if she
for Columbus Day?
Oh, with the statue on the back of it. I mean, could you imagine what it would? I mean, we have a mayor who told people that she is the biggest schlong in Chicago.
Oh yeah. Oh, well,
let me whip this out. All right. Okay. Ooh, yeah. John in Bridgeport, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
All right, guys, real quick. Both of you are cordially invited to the big football game tonight, Brother Rice versus St. Rita at Rita.
Oh, you all, people. I love you, St. Rita people.
Oh, jeez.
Your Brother Rice. Sorry. Go St. Rita.
But anyway.
I get friends with
Superintendent Will Superintendent Brown survive the remainder of the year with all of his misleading statements?
Yep.
And third of all, do you feel President Trump will be indicted or taken into custody to knock him out of the race? Let me know. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
I think he will stick around.
You think who will stick around?
Superintendent Brown.
You think? Oh,
I think she likes,
Well, she likes him because she can control him.
And he's a punching bag.
Yeah, and not the punching bag. She just tells him what to say. They're aligned politically.
He's the punching bag from the public.
Oh, yeah.
He takes the hits.
Yeah, but he is so checked out. Whew, yeah. I've had I've had more superintendents than I've had husbands.
Yeah.
I've had 9 different superintendents. I mean, Gary McCarthy, Terry Hillard, Phil Klein. I can go on and on and on.
Klein was one of the
best. I have never seen somebody so checked out of their job than Superintendent Brown.
Klein was too effective, and that's why they had to take him out.
All right, Elliot and Wilmette, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hello, Elliot.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. And I've still been pushing on everyone to see Uncle Tom, too. It was terrific
amazing.
Thing. And 2 things. One, I'm hoping that Trump will de-emphasize the election in 2020, because that brings back painful memories and arguments, and he can, I think, do great moving forward. The other thing was what Dan Proft said some time ago after the 2020 election, which was that all the stuff that was the mechanisms that they were going to use for the election, I'll say, were established and set up by Labor Day. So now that we're at Labor Day, I'm hoping that we can have a fair and just election without so much difficulties. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Steve in Orland Park. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Steve.
Oh, whatever happened to Jussie Smollett?
Oh, Smollett. he's out.
Yeah, he's still the victim in this, guys. He's never, remember? He's still the victim. He's still going. He's still sticking with his story.
And I'm sticking to it.
What did he say?
What is that?
Was that a phone? What was that?
Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett. Yeah, no, he's still trying to reinvent his acting career.
Yeah.
He's out in L.A. He's not here. Thank goodness he could never live in Chicago.
I was talking to somebody last night, and they were telling me that about all this white privilege. And I said, no, today, there's no such thing as privilege is not white. It's green. Mm-hmm. If you got the green, if you got the dollar, you have privilege. It's,
right.
It's that simple today. That's where we live today. There's no white privilege. There's no, it's green privilege.
All right.
I don't care who you are.
I might steal that. What's your name?
Oh, my name's John.
John what? What's your
be
I'm
here all
with
week.
Dick Morris on, and he's like, what? Where am I? Yeah. Oh, great. Rich in Indian Head Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Great show today.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say is Biden's speech, he said Republicans tell lies for profit and power. What about the Inflation Reduction Act? What's in there that he talked about, that they talked about inflation?
Ooh.
And the second thing is, they talk about the rule of law. What about the people that protest in front of the Supreme Court Justice House? That is against the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
And, yeah, last night was, he didn't talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. He didn't talk about that when
exactly.
I saw it was 27 minutes long, and all it was bashing. It was dividing the country, because he's the divider in chief now. This, you know, I'm a great unifier, bull jive.
Yeah.
And it was a slap in the face to anybody who voted for Trump. I mean, he called us a threat to the United States.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. And he lit the stage red, and he had 2 Marines stationed in front of Independence Hall. And it was very sinister looking, and it was just evil. I was shocked at what I was hearing.
And one last thing I would like to say about Lori Lightfoot, she said she's going to treat these illegals with dignity and respect. Why doesn't she treat the police officers with dignity and respect and back them 100%? And maybe the crime rate would be down and people would want to come to Chicago.
Yeah.
You guys have a good day.
You know what, too, though? Why aren't they vaccinated?
Yeah.
They can't. They, you know, you have to be vaccinated to be a Chicago cop, to be a firefighter, to be a school teacher. They encourage vaccination. Yeah. When they got off that bus, they should have been jabbing them up.
Yeah. You think monkeypox came through there?
No. Don't get me started. That's on the decline now, apparently. That's good news, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess.
Oh, but you can get your 17,000th COVID vaccine today. Yeah. They're out. They have them in Chicago. The FDA has approved the 5th shot. This one is the BA4 Omicron Elk Grove variant. That will be... No, that's what it's supposed to help, the BA4 Omicron. But, yeah, I'm not doing it because they never did any human trials on it. And Pfizer admits that, because Stephanie Goss from NBC News went and interviewed Pfizer, you know, because they're pushing this new vaccine. Never tested it on humans, tested it on 8 mice.
Yeah, no.
No. All right, let's close out the show the way we always do, with our one and only, our biggest fan in Delavan, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The one, the only, Chuck from Delavan. Hi, Chuck.
Ooh,
how are you?
Cut a rug.
Hi, Chuck Lindell, and thank you, Amy. Pat yourself on the back. You named two of my garage fans, biggest schlong in town, and jabbing them up. I can't believe it. In the same sentence, I got to. I'm gonna be at the Walworth County Fair tonight. Everybody, come up and visit at the Walworth County Fair. Eat some cotton candy, get some corn dogs, and I was there the night before last, handing out my campaign literature and pressing the flesh.
Yeah.
And I had over 20 people. They knew that I was Chuck from Delvin. So you guys are doing a great job and making sure that everyone knows who Chuck from Delvin
is. Okay, so Chuck,
you guys have a great
weekend.
No,
Chuck, don't hang up the phone. I have to ask you about this campaign. You're still running for the congressional race as an independent, or what are you doing?
Yes, I'm an independent, and the party is called the Going Away Party. And if you look up Ballotpedia, it'll tell you who the three people are, and you'll see my name, and it says Independent Party, Going Away Party.
Okay. Thank you.
They wouldn't let me put Chuck from Delvin on, though.
Oh, they wouldn't?
No, they said I couldn't put Chuck from Delvin as an AKA. That's what they said in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
When I turned in all my petitions.
So how many signatures did
you
get? Hey, how many signatures did you get?
I got 2,000 immediately.
Whoa.
Wow.
I turned them in June the 1st.
All right.
I stood at a gas station in Delvin, Wisconsin, and I got them all right there in the parking lot as people were getting their gas.
You'll get a challenge
good for
now.
You. All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.